Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. Lord God, we thank you for another Christmas Eve that we have been able to live to see it. We are forever grateful. We know that many started out with us last Christmas Eve and some are not here. You've taken them home to be with you. Yet, Lord God, you have granted us favor. Not because we've been all that good, but because you have been loving to us. And so, Lord God, we thank you. And now as we come to celebrate the birth of the Christ child, our Lord and Savior, we pray that you'll be in our midst. Be with us tonight. Be with us through this season and through next year. And let us again remember that story, that great story, the greatest love story that was ever told, that Jesus would come into the world and die for us. We give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. And so tonight we want to be happy. We ought to be happy, shouldn't we? It is a story of our Christian history. It's a wonderful story of Jesus Christ being born to save us. It's not just that the gifts under the tree makes us happy. It is the gift of Christ. And so we give God thanks. I give God thanks tonight for what God has done for us. And we heard in the story, the Luke story, at verses, I think it's about 17 to 19, it says, when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen, as it had been told them. So Mary did both. She treasured and she pondered. And it is defined as to treasure something is to keep it carefully, a valuable or valued item, right? People have their diamond rings and fur coats and whatever, all your wonderful jewelry, you know what I'm talking about. Wonderful things that you treasure, right? Treasure in your heart, and hopefully we're treasuring our children. They're the first treasure, aren't they? Should be. But we treasure, we hold them with value. So Mary treasured. She treasured the story. She didn't quite understand it, but she treasured being called to carry this Savior, this child. She did not know the great work he was going to do. But she also pondered. Interesting, isn't it? To ponder is to think about something, but to think about it carefully, especially before making a decision or reaching a conclusion. So she's treasuring, but she's pondering. And I always thought that while she was pondering, Mary could not stop it, but she pondered. Are we pondering the story? I believe that many of us treasure it. It has become a treasure to us because we put up a tree and we put pretty lights around a tree. We all do like that. And we make it lovely and we wrap beautiful gifts and we put it around the tree and we buy gifts for our loved ones and we put it around the tree because what are we doing? We are treasuring it. Tomorrow morning, Early in the morning, later tonight, we'll be opening up the gifts, many folks, and they'll be treasuring it, right? Some folks won't. They'll want to take it back to the store the next day or right that minute. You know what I mean. The things they don't like that you bought them, they won't treasure it. They'll be pondering, why in God's name did you give them that? You know what I mean, friends. I know it's Christmas Eve. I should behave myself. But you understand what I'm saying, right? But Mary's pondering was a different pondering because she was pondering the story. This story. So I want to start with this reflection, and I want you to ponder it as I read it. It is a very good story, and it has a profound meaning. And it's titled, The Baby That Changed Everything. Did you ever read Bert Art's story, The Luck of Roaring Camp? Roaring Camp was supposed to be, according to the story, the meanest, toughest mining town in all of the West. They had more murderers, more thefts, and it was a terrible place inhabited entirely by men and one woman who tried to serve them all, you know, which cook and wash for them and things like that. Her name was Cherokee Sal. And she died while giving birth to a baby. Well, the men took the baby and they put her in a box with some gold rags under her. When they looked at her, they decided that she didn't look right. So they sent one of the men 80 miles to buy a rosewood cradle. He brought it back, and they put the rags and the baby in the rosewood cradle. And the rags didn't look right. So they sent another of their number to Sacramento, and he came back with some beautiful silk lace blanket. And they put the baby wrapped around with those blankets in the rosewood cradle. Remember, these men are murderers and thieves. It looked fine until someone happened to notice that the floor was so filthy. So these hardened, tough men got down on their hands and knees, and with their hardened hands, they scrubbed the floor until it was very clean. Of course, what that did was to make the walls and the ceiling and the dirty windows without curtains look absolutely terrible. So they washed the walls and the ceiling, and they put curtains at the windows. And now things were beginning to look as they thought they should look. But of course, they had to give up a lot of their fighting because the baby slept a lot and babies can't sleep during a brawl. So the whole temperature of Roaring Camp seemed to go down. They used to take her out and set her by the entrance to the mine in a rosewood cradle so that they could see her when they came up. Somebody noticed what a dirty place that was. So they planted flowers and they made a very nice garden there. It looked quite beautiful. And they would bring her some shiny little stones and things that they would find in the mine. But when they would put their hands down next to hers, their hands looked so dirty. Pretty soon, the general store was all sold out of soap and shaving gear and perfume and those kinds of things. The baby changed everything. That's the way it is for those of goodwill. That's the way it is for those who please God. The baby enters into their lives, into our lives, and he slips into every crevice of our experience, their experience, until they saw, hark, listen, the herald angels sing, God is for us, and Christmas is forever. Yes, the baby has changed many lives, thousands of lives over the years. This same baby that we are celebrating. Some folks want to destroy the evidence. Many have tried to negate it. One writer says, it's a tough job trying to make Christmas non-religious. To eliminate Christ from Christmas, you would have to destroy all the evidence, including the Michelangelos, the Rembrandts, the Rubens and the Davanches, the works of Beethoven, Haydn, Bach, and Mozart, and Handel. To search for the millions of Bibles translated into many languages and distributed around the world would take quite a force. The job would be too big for the FBI, the KGB, and Scotland Yard combined. This story cannot be destroyed, the story of Jesus Christ. And others have reduced the stable scene to some cutesy little scenario that has no meaning left in it at all, says the writer. Many have lost the sense of awe that there, in that stable, God became man. What can be the point of Christmas if it is here today and gone tomorrow? For all our celebrations this time of year, why do so many and fail to recognize Christmas's Lord? Why? The fact remains that our world never comes as close to being in contact with its greatest hope as it does at Christmas. The greatest hope that we have is Jesus Christ. We talk about the spirit of Christmas. What spirit of Christmas, one writer asked. The spirit of Christmas needs to be superseded by the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christmas is annual. Something we do annually. It's a tradition that we do annually. But the spirit of Christ is eternal. It is from everlasting to everlasting. The spirit of Christmas is sentimental. And that's all right to be sentimental. But let us remember that the spirit of Christ is supernatural. That God would wrap himself in the clothing of a baby and would come forth so that he could save the world. The spirit of Christmas is a human product. Christmas is created by human beings. There is nowhere in the Bible that it says we should go have Christmas. But out of the story of the birth of Jesus and the Magi giving gifts, we create the story. Which is all well and good. But the spirit of Christ is a divine person. A divine person would come into the world to die for us. That makes all the difference in the world. So friends, let me separate this a little bit. For the children, it's okay for them to have the spirit of Christmas. Dear children, it's okay for them to be always looking for their gifts and believing Santa is coming through the skies. But I hope and pray there is no grown person here. And if you raise your hand, I'm going to have to come and put holy water on you. I hope and pray there is no grown person looking for Santa and a little horse waiting for your gifts. Right? We get to a place that we understand the spirit of Christmas. Don't we, friends? That we know that it's about Jesus Christ coming into the world to die for us. For he was born to die. That's the story. If we separate Christmas from Good Friday, and the result, then the result would be to doom Christmas as nothing more than a time to be merry and happy and based on a folklore or a tradition. So we have to understand that the spirit of Christmas for us is what that baby did for those criminals, those men in the mine. Next slide. You see, as we read the story, oh, he did go to second slide. No, back, sorry, I didn't see. As we noticed on the first slide that I had up, we saw that it was one shepherd, one angel who came to tell the shepherd that this baby had been born, right? One shepherd. When you read the text, you must read between the lines. And I was reading it the other day, and I realized, but what the text says, that the first time the men heard it, the shepherd heard it, was one angel that told them what they had been waiting for, this gift that had been promised to them. Now, you know, it's very hard for us to wait for our Christmas gift for 1 year, isn't it? Can you imagine waiting for a promise for over 400 years? Can you imagine waiting and waiting generations, more than that, thousands of years? Waiting. God was silent for 400 years, but they had been waiting a long time for the promise of a Messiah that would come to save them. Waiting and waiting. Could you imagine? You know, we are going to start shopping, some people, not you lovely people here, because you're good Christians, good believing Christians, but some people would be shopping on January 1st for next Christmas. You know, they say there's a sale on the lights and the bulbs. I've been told. I haven't done that yet, but who knows, I may show up. Right? There'll be a sale and a discount on things, right? Never know now, right? And they start shopping and boxing the things from January 2nd for the next Christmas. Can you imagine us waiting? But they had waited and waited. And then the first angel came. And after that angel came and told the shepherd who were in the field, and it's amazing that they told shepherd, because you know what? They would find them in the field, and they know that shepherds would be working at night, taking care of their flock. And after that, next slide, what happened? The next slide we see, the Bible says a host of angels came. And the host of angels began to sing. Glory in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to all humanity, men and women alike. And that's why we're here tonight, friends. I know it looks lovely, and you're here to see the beautiful church and hear the lovely music and hear me, if possible, and see me, and I come to see you, and we all have a good time together. But I'm hoping and praying that deep in your heart, you're here because of Jesus Christ. Will you all say an amen if that's so? You're here because we know the Savior. And we know that baby that was born. And that baby who cleaned us up. Just like that baby cleaned up those men and women. Turned us around. Put our feet on solid ground. And most of all, when we need him, we could call on him. Amen. Folks don't understand it, but we are Christian believers. We believe in a Savior that is always there for us. In good times and in bad times, in hard times, in joyous times, he is there for us. And so thanks be to God that we have a baby who changed everything for us. Amen.